Convention. This is IRN USA Radio News.
The folks who care at the Platteville Public Library remind parents, this back-to-school season, prepare your kids the right way by boning up on their reading and studying skills. By doing so, you give them a fighting chance at success. So help your child succeed and prepare them for back-to-school properly. That's from the Platteville Public Library, because they care about your child's education. For more information on study and reading programs for your kids, call 785-2231 and get your kids properly prepared for back-to-school. As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Gray's Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Gray's Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault, on the air because they care. Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen, who's going to bring us up to date on his dad, that's Joel Skousen, a weekly analysis of the events from the World Affairs Brief. Andrew, thanks for being with us this morning, and what have we got to be covering?
Certainly, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the time. Well, this week's top story is about the Ferguson riot. Joel says, time to hold police responsible. The tragic story of Michael Brown, a young black teenager killed by a police officer for no apparent good reason, is causing ongoing riots among the almost two-thirds black community in Ferguson, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. The story has racial overtones, but it is really about the growing problem of thuggish, aggressive police and their increasingly foul-mouthed treatment of anyone who doesn't obey their every demand, legal or not. More and more police are eager to stun or even kill rather than confront with reasonable negotiation and minimum force. Part of this problem is the increased militarization of police in both equipment and warrior attitudes. But the biggest single factor is the deliberate refusal of police chiefs and local judges to prosecute police abuse and rein in aggressive behavior. When officers get away with abuse time and again, bad habits fester and grow. Good cops leave, and they are being replaced with aggressive, macho, bulky thugs who have a sense of I'm the boss rather than a servant of the community. The initial riots quickly spread from just demonstrations to looting and vandalism. Part of the initial demonstrations were over pent-up frustrations with heavy-handed police actions in the past, but the looting of innocent stores was inexcusable and exacerbated by low-class opportunists who were out to take advantage of the situation. Michael Snyder commented on how fast the community can descend into chaos. He said, quote, word spread quickly throughout the community and protests were rapidly organized. But the protests didn't stay peaceful. People started chanting, kill the police, and throwing rocks and bottles. Store windows were smashed and looting began and people went absolutely crazy. And it wasn't just a few people that were doing the looting. Huge mobs of people looted stores all over Ferguson. At one point, an ATM was even dragged out of a Quick Trip gas station, and a while after that, the store was set on fire. But this is what happens when things descend into chaos. The owners of those stores didn't have anything to do with the shooting of Michael Brown, but the violence got directed at them anyway. And someday, when we see similar scenes erupt in major cities all over the nation, it won't matter what your political beliefs are. You just better not be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Ferguson is a little town just outside of St. Louis with a population of about 21,000 people. You wouldn't think that it would be possible to see such massive rioting in such a small community, but that is precisely what happened, end quote. Joel says, well, in fact, Ferguson is not just a little town separate from St. Louis. All of the smaller towns have become one big, seamless metropolis, and Ferguson happens to be in the poorer part of town that has a large black majority population. Racial profiling is near impossible to avoid when most of the crime is committed by blacks, but it's no excuse for not treating each person fairly on a case-by-case basis. Reverend Al Sharpton flew into town with his huge entourage, hoping to capitalize on the flare-up of violence, but even moderate black leaders and pastors did not welcome him, knowing that he was there to take advantage of the situation to promote himself, not solve anything. Here's Newsmax.com on the visit and controversy. Quote, Sharpton arrived in St. Louis on Tuesday and walked arm-in-arm with Brown's family members, their lawyer and clergy members. The controversial civil rights leader and MSNBC host then made a fiery speech to a crowd at the city's historic old courthouse. Quote, St. Louis is in fact bearing witness for America, Sharpton said. The Band-Aid has been ripped off and all America is seeing the open wound of racism exists. There's been some comments made by some leaders who don't want Sharpton's protest, some African-American leaders and some of the African-American elected officials. Protesters say the area's police force has a staggering lack of diversity, and with just 3 black officers out of 50, the city of Ferguson is about 68% African-American, end quote. Joel says, I still don't think that diversity is the real issue here. Police organizations may favor aggressive whites that don't mind the paper and bookwork involved, but arbitrarily adding minorities to a police force would not change the real problem of police brutality that is not being reined in, as evidenced by its increased occurrence all around the country. True to form, the chief of the St. Louis Police County Police Department is covering for the actions of the officer and refuses to even reveal his name in order to protect him. Hacker group Anonymous was so upset with the cover-up that they hacked into the police computer system and revealed the name just despite this systematic protection system. The police are countering with claims the named person has never worked for them. Either way, he'll eventually be found out and will have to leave the area. I just noticed on the news this morning that it looks like they're about to reveal the name of that officer, or maybe just have. Continuing in the brief here. Yes, the bad cop does need protection given what the evidence shows. Everyone should be outraged. As in almost all police brutality cases or incidents of false arrest, police have any number of standard excuses at the ready in order to justify their actions. In big blunders like this, they are almost all lies or exaggerations, including claims of the victim resisting arrest and the planting of drugs or knife on the body. But in this case, the victim, Michael Brown, was with other boys, and they are witnesses to what really happened. William Gregg Jr. has a weekly blog, Freedom in Our Time, that has probably the most comprehensive tracking of how widespread police abuse and aggressiveness has become. He covered this week's event with his usual detailed analysis and commentary. Quote, neither of the young men was doing anything suspicious to justify a police quote-unquote contact, so the officer synthesized one out of the ether. According to Johnson, one of the other boy witnesses, as the cop drove by, he bellowed at the pedestrians to get on the sidewalk. Johnson, displaying immeasurably more civility than the armed functionary, supposedly there to protect and serve him, politely explained that he was only a few hundred feet from his home. He recalls that the officer took offense, slammed on his brakes, threw his vehicle in reverse, nearly hitting the pedestrians, and growled, "What did you say?" According to Johnson's account, the cop began to exit his vehicle, but his door slammed into Brown. At roughly the same time, the uniformed assailant grabbed the terrified 18-year-old by his neck. As Brown tried to escape, Johnson testifies, the officer repeatedly sneered, "I'm going to shoot you." A moment later, the first of several gunshots was heard. Brown, who may have been grazed by the round, turned to flee, and Johnson quickly joined him. The officer fired a second shot at the fleeing victim, hitting Brown.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Stout.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Grace Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault, on the air because they care. Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
And this morning at the show, we're talking about police brutality, and there is police brutality, and the police officers who shoot innocent people should be held responsible, but there's always a cover-up. Well, anyway, hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it, this incident has provoked a series of violent demonstrations, and I think that you're really seeing now is a prologue to what we're going to see increasingly in America as the very structure of society begins to break down. Andrew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're quoting from a story by William Grigg Jr., who's highlighting some of the details of what happened according to witnesses. He says, "The narrative peddled by St. Louis County Police Chief John Bermar, interestingly, confirms critical elements of Johnson's testimony, while eliding over critical and uncontested details. Bermar described the event as an encounter between the official with and two individuals in the street. In fact, one of those individuals allegedly pushed the police officer back into the car where he physically assaulted the police officer. It is our understanding at this point in the investigation that within the police car there was a struggle over the officer's weapon. There was at least one shot fired within the car. After that, officer came back out of the car. He exited his vehicle, and there was a shooting that occurred where the officer, in fact, shot the suspect, and they were fatal injuries. The chief did not explain how a quote-unquote encounter escalated to a situation in which Brown supposedly pushed the officer back into the car. This omission is intended to convey the impression that an 18-year-old black male simply attacked an unassuming police officer out of irrepressible malice. Johnson's version, on the other hand, depicts a police officer, Johnson being the young man who was a friend of Michael Brown, who was accompanying. Johnson's version, on the other hand, depicts a police officer trolling for trouble. That characterization is factually credible, owing to what is known about the institutional character of law enforcement. Additionally, that testimony, unlike the shooter's account, was offered firsthand, in public, by a witness who is not afraid to be known by both his name and his face. Furthermore, Johnson's claim that the officer was forced back into his seat after slamming the driver's side door into Brown would explain how he was, quote, pushed back into the car, end quote, without being shoved into the vehicle by the victim. Johnson's claim that the officer threatened to shoot Brown would both explain why a, quote, unquote, struggle over the gun would have occurred and justify any action the victim took to defend himself. There is no dispute that Brown was unarmed and attempting to surrender when he was fatally shot. Immediately after the killing, the officer who shot Brown was placed on paid vacation and sheltered within a security cocoon. More importantly, he sought to refuge in his supposed rights as defined by the Garrity Rule, under which he cannot face criminal or civil prosecution on the basis of anything he discloses to police investigators. End quote. End of the Norman Greig quote. According to USA Today, the other witnesses confirmed that the police officer was the only aggressor. Quote, Darian Johnson, 22, told KSDK-TV that a white officer shot Brown, quote, like an animal, end quote, in the head and chest as the teen put his hands in the air. Johnson said the incident started around 1:40 p.m. Saturday when the officer pulled up beside the pair as they were walking down the street. Quote, he didn't say freeze, halt, or anything like we were committing a crime, end quote, Johnson told KSDK. He said, get on the sidewalk. End of the USA Today quote. This is typical of the way all thuggish cops talk nowadays, even to white people if they put up any objection to being stopped. Sorry, I omitted a four-letter word in that previous statement. Or especially if the person begins pleading his constitutional rights. That really seems to set police off on a rampage, as if your being a patriot puts you in a special class deserving of abuse and manhandling. It demonstrates that police have wrongfully been indoctrinated into the dangers patriots present as a domestic terrorist, as promulgated by federal paid agents of influence like the Southern Poverty Law Conference. Many picked up this foul-mouthed bravado in the military, but it spread like wildfire in the precincts since nearly all cops use it, and police chiefs fail to correct that kind of behavior. Note that Brown had committed no crime and was fleeing, not confronting. No excuse to use deadly force. Then, after being hit by a bullet, the victim stops running, turns around with his hands up. This still from the USA Today quote. Quote, his Brown's hands immediately went into the air and he turned around to the officer, Johnson recalled. My friend started to tell the officer that he was unarmed and that he could stop shooting him. Before he could get his second sentence out, the officer fired several more shots into his head and chest area, end quote. Joel says, this is unconscionable, and I can tell you after tracking the court records for years, this cop will get off without ever being charged with manslaughter or murder. At best, he'll be suspended for a brief period and then reinstated. If there's enough outrage, he may get fired, but he'll never serve time for murder. The courts will take his word for it over the black youth who were witnesses. The police immediately went into cover-up mode, delaying justice and the coroner's report, by starting the normal many months-long investigation while they figure out how to cover it up. But the real militaristic mentality of the local police became evident as they confronted the wall of racial outrage that poured forth from the community. And I have no doubt that other malcontents from other ghettos in St. Louis joined in with the locals to burn, pillage, and loot. None of that, of course, was justified and should not be tolerated. But neither is the police justified in showing up with armored cars and mounted machine guns. However, something surfaced that is now typical of police. Officers started searching out journalists and attacking and arresting those who were filming. There's something telling about police eagerness to suppress video records of their actions. Here's USA Today. Quote, Antonio French, a St. Louis alderman who had been posting frequent photos and video of the protests and police response, was taken to the Ferguson jail and arrested for unlawful assembly. His wife, Jacenka Benek French, said via Twitter, the situation, already tenuous after extensive police presence that included rubber bullets, pepper spray, and tear gas since Michael Brown's death last week, exploded Wednesday evening after SWAT officers roughed up and arrested two reporters inside a local McDonald's. Journalists in the St. Louis suburb to cover the fray wound up being part of the story when two were detained at a McDonald's restaurant where members of the media were charging cell phones and writing. Reporters Wesley Lowry of the Washington Post and Ryan Riley of the Huffington Post said on Twitter that police had told them to stop recording the chaos, then took them into custody. End quote. Joel says, add to this two more journalists who were tear gassed and arrested yesterday. Quote, the journalists were unharmed, but the incident highlighted the town's ramped-up police presence, which has been criticized as overly militarized, end quote. Yes, the federal government has various programs to push military equipment on police forces, and almost at zero cost, except to the federal taxpayers, of course. These kinds of programs get tucked into the massive annual defense authorization bill because nobody can seem to say no to the military in Congress. Now it becomes a matter of ego and pride for police chiefs to have all this military gear. It's not enough that everyone has a SWAT team. The problem with SWAT teams is the mentality that goes with it. They're trained in quick shooting and military team tactics of clearing rooms, as if doing a military aid against armed combatants. Even though the training supposedly emphasizes target recognition, friend or foe, when you're all pumped up to go into a supposed hostile house environment, you're going to shoot first rather than later. And that's why SWAT teams should never be used for anything but known armed standoff. To see police with Kevlar helmets, armored vests, and mounted machine guns moving in to confront a demonstration is clearly overkill and just asking for trouble. We must also never forget the experience of the past when known police forces dressing in masks and civilian clothes, but stupidly still wearing the military-issue boots, were infiltrated into anti-globalist riots in various cities to precipitate riots by breaking windows and looting, handing to police forces an excuse to open fire and label anti-globalists as terrorists. The county police chief, according to some, went quote-unquote nuts when he found out that his police had mistreated journalists. Actually, I don't believe the report at all, Joel says. All police know you can't treat journalists that way, unless, of course, you've been given the wink and nod from the chief that it's okay. But journalists have an audience, and they can defend themselves in ways that get police chiefs in big trouble. So rather than face the kind of summary dismissal he deserved, the higher authorities at the state and federal level stepped in to replace his forces rather than put the chief on the docket for his role in exacerbating the violence and suppressing media coverage. The governor of Missouri, Jay Nixon, a Democrat, announced that the county police will no longer be in charge of policing Ferguson. State troopers and possibly even federal forces will take command of the police presence. Dave Hodges had a piece that highlighted many recent cases of police brutality and killings where no one was brought to justice. We have a link to it in the brief. Well, that's all about that story, Dr. Stan. Any comments before we move on to the next?
All right, you go right ahead.
All right, this is about Iraq, mission creep, and limits of air power. The new Iraq war is already escalating, and as usual, Congress has nothing to say about it. This demonstrates the danger of allowing a president to go to war without authorization by Congress, as the Constitution demands. Despite Obama's claims that, quote, no troops will be sent, the administration has admitted to sending in 130 Marine, quote-unquote, advisors. In addition to the official 900 sent earlier to assist Iraqi security forces and beef up the embassy there. But this is still only the tip of the iceberg. The U.S. has thousands of mercenaries and hundreds of special forces and helicopter pilots in Iraq. Supposedly, the 130 Marine advisors were to make an assessment of the need for more troops, so more could be coming if the administration is open about it. But as a former Marine officer, Joel says, I can tell you they are lying. It only takes one or two higher-ranking officers to assess the need for more troops. The 130 are certainly not advisors, but specialized combat troops. Whatever their true mission, late yesterday the Obama administration reported that these quote-unquote advisors were slated to leave Iraq. Meanwhile, the supposed humanitarian crisis of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi refugees stuck on a mountaintop turned out to be mostly propaganda to justify the latest interdiction, which has more to do with oil than people. The Yazidi sect has long been persecuted by Muslims, and the U.S. never done anything to help them during our intervention in Iraq. Now, because it is useful to justify the escalation there, they suddenly become worthy of our help. CBS News, quoting Reuters, says now that neither a huge defense of the Yazidis nor a mass evacuation is likely. Quote, an American team flew to Iraq's Mount Sinjar on Wednesday to consider possible ways to rescue stranded refugees. But the Pentagon said later it was, quote, far less likely, end quote, that the U.S. would try to evacuate the refugees. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel told reporters fewer refugees are stranded on the mountaintop than previously thought, and that it's far less likely that the U.S. will undertake a rescue mission there. Hagel said a U.S. team that flew to Mount Sinjar Wednesday morning also found the refugees were in better condition after receiving food and water drops from U.S. planes. CBS News National Security Correspondent David Martin reported that a team of about 20 U.S. Green Berets flew to Mount Sinjar in Black Hawk helicopters during the early hours of Wednesday morning to conduct reconnaissance for a possible rescue mission. End quote. Joel says, those kinds of remarks are telling because, first, the presence of multiple Black Hawk helos indicates that U.S. forces, pilots, maintenance, and security personnel are already in that part of Iraq. They can't just fly in all the way from carriers like F-18s have done for the airstrike. Lastly, the U.S. infers that they only discovered the overestimate of fleeing refugees as the team arrived. Nonsense. Satellite images told this from the beginning. Here's some background on the Yazidi sect that no one in the West is reporting on. These are excerpts from a background piece from the Al-Arabiya Institute for Studies. Quote, Yazidis in Iraq face the threat of genocide following recent developments in which the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria took over Sinjar and expelled Kurdish Peshmerga forces from them. The Yazidi minority in Iraq is an ethno-religious community that practices an ancient religion linked to Zoroastrianism. Yazidis used to be situated in the north and northwest of Iraq, particularly in the area surrounding the Sinjar Mountains west of Mosul and the Shikhan district northeast of Mosul, Joel inserts, which explains why they fled there recently. Continue the quote. The term Yazidi means the servant of the creator and is not linked to Yazidi.
Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Peace Center.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Gray's Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time.
Gray's Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault, on the air because they care.
Well, before we go on, Andrew, how can people get in touch with your dad and subscribe to the World Affairs Brief? How can they get his excellent books on strategic relocation, certainly building a safe home? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. People should go to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. There's a quick few-step process to signing up for the brief. It's less than $1 per brief for a year subscription. They can also see the news stories there at the site that we are posting. Once they subscribe to the brief, they will also have access to all of past World Affairs briefs to see what Joel has been saying about things in the past, how he's been documenting the conspiracy and the movements of the conspiracy. There is also a link on that website to our other website, which is joelskousen.com. Joelskousen.com has listings of all of Joel's work that are available for sale. The foremost of these is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. We recommend this as a first book if people are new to the idea about the coming hard times. This book lays out in the greatest detail what we are facing in terms of geopolitical problems and issues in the country, and then highlights where you can go in all of the U.S. and Canada. It highlights places that are going to be safer or worse off in coming hard times in light of the riots around Ferguson, Missouri, for instance. We definitely recommend that people get out of high-density population areas so that you aren't in the wrong place at the wrong time. Once people have worked out some kind of a retreat option or need to shelter in place, they should get one of our other two books, The High Security or The Secure Home or The High Security Shelter. The Secure Home is a larger book and outlines everything you need about securing a residence and property, as well as adding alternate energy systems to it to make it more viable after power goes down or is out for long periods of time. It also highlights how to build into a house a safe room, a secure area, and how to conceal things. For people that have to shelter in place, can't get away from their existing house situation, we recommend The High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in the Home. This smaller book has several ideas about converting a room or a closet in an existing house into some kind of a safety retreat. And we have extensive plans about how to do this yourself with remodel and block by block and brick by brick, bag of concrete by bag of concrete. You can bring this in the safety and security of your own house and put it together a room that will provide security and safety for yourself and your family, as well as your basic provisions. We also have ideas about some a central backup power type system for those places. Like I say, all of these are available at joelskousen.com. If people would like to call in and order those, they should get those from you at Radio Liberty. Right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to begin preparing. Difficult times are coming. And you will want to have an alternative, a place to go, or at least have your home such that you'll be able to withstand the breakdown of the structure of society. So right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're just going into the historical background of who the Yazidis are that are currently in news a lot over the situation of the refugees on Mount Sinjar, as ISIS in Iraq has been attacking them, as well as the Kurdish Peshmerga around them. This This article from the Al Arabiya Institute says, there are no official statistics on their numbers in Iraq, but Yazidis say their population in Iraq alone exceeds 560,000. Yazidis have throughout history confronted several challenges, including the fact that areas in which they inhabit lie within the, quote, disputed lands, end quote, between the central Iraqi government and the Kurdistan government, Joel says, meaning neither the Sunnis nor Shiites have ever been willing to grant them their own ethnic land. Continuing the quote, other challenges are related to their community social structure and cultural isolation because they do not allow marriage outside the community. Also, the Yazidi case marry only within their group. In addition to these challenges, Yazidis have confronted several accusations of stereotypes since Islamic conquest of Iraq. The repercussions of these accusations continue to this very day as several modern researchers picture them as bandits, stubborn rebels, devil worshippers, and infidels. During the Ottoman rule, there were attempts to force them into converting to Islam and fatwas, religious edicts, categorizing them as a heretical group, were issued against Yazidis. Yazidis thus survived around 72 genocides as they upheld a religion amidst the pure Muslim atmosphere. They were harshly persecuted on the religious nationalistic level. In addition to the Ottomans' attempt to force them into Islam, there were attempts to forcefully, quote-unquote, Arabize them during the phase of national governance in Iraq's modern history from 1921 to 2003. A worrisome future. The future of Yazidis in Iraq seems worrisome as ISIS has sanctioned shedding their blood and enslaving their women. The idea of the rise of extremist Islamic movements in Iraq's Kurdistan terrifies Yazidis and pushes them to maintain their religious privacy because they are different from Kurds on a religious level, although they share the same ethnicity. End quote. It is also important to note that Iraqi Christians have also been persecuted and driven out in the current ISIS conflict. Why haven't they received the same attention as the Yazidis? Some suspect that all this work over these isolated people on Mount Sinjar is just an excuse. The U.S. did nothing until the new oil center at Erbil was threatened by ISIS incursions. Here's Washington's blog on the subject. Quote, why is Obama now recommitting the U.S. military to Iraq? Why is France strongly backing military action? Joel inserts. France is shipping arms and munitions to the Kurds at the behest of the U.S. This is according to the globalist playbook. Make sure everything is done by an international coalition and not just the U.S. France is very much on the rocks financially, and you can bet the U.S. is planning to pay for French military aid under the table. France's participation, without obvious cost to the EU, then influences the expectations of other NATO countries to participate. But they won't do so unless the U.S. also offers them some sort of financial incentive. Continuing the quote, Obama says it's to protect minorities. That's nothing new. Obama is the fourth president in a row to bomb Iraq while claiming it is for humanitarian purposes, end quote. Joel says, and as I just pointed out, the U.S. has never demanded that minorities be protected in their dealings with the Shiite rulers under al-Maliki, who has now officially been ousted.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with time for discussion.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, Give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squarereconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, this is from Washington's blog. Quote, but the architects of the Iraq War, the one which we started in 2003, themselves admitted it was about oil, end quote. Joel says, that was partially disinformation. The larger purpose of the Iraq War was to also antagonize the Muslims of the world and build this backlash to the phony war on terror, so that war could become permanent and continue to justify the U.S. draconian response, both foreign and domestic, with the militarization of police, the results of which are obvious when you look at the events in Ferguson, Missouri this week. Continuing the Washington blog, quote, ISIS captured some key oil fields in the Kurdish region of Iraq on August 3rd. Mere days later, the U.S. started bombing ISIS, and the strikes were targeted in protecting oil resources. As International Business Times notes, Pentagon Press Secretary Rear Admiral John Kirby tweeted, U.S. military aircraft conduct strike on ISIL artillery. Artillery was used against Kurdish forces defending Erbil near U.S. personnel, end quote. Joel inserts, oops, another admission that U.S. personnel are already on the ground in Iraq in the battle zone. Continuing the Washington blog, quote, U.S. airstrikes were very small and very targeted, and the Peshmerga Kurdistan forces are waiting for more strikes by the U.S. fighter jets, according to reports. It should be noted initially that months of murder, mayhem, and brutality by ISIS on Christians and other minorities didn't cause the U.S. or France to intervene militarily for humanitarian reasons. And notice that the airstrikes were very targeted on protecting Erbil, the regional capital of Kurdistan. Erbil has now become a major oil center. The Kurdish government estimates that the region is the world's ninth largest oil producer. Oil companies from around the world operate in Kurdistan. End quote. Joel says, most major U.S. oil companies are there, as well as those of major countries, of other major countries, including the French and British. But this war isn't going to be won by air power alone. As a former fighter attack pilot, I can assure you that there are real limits to fighting a war with only fighter bombers. Basically, you can only attack targets of opportunity out in the open, as ISIS is advancing between towns. In many cases, you can rely on satellite surveillance for targeting, but because of the time delay in relaying target information, the fighter still has to go out and find a moving target, which may be several miles away or hidden. That's why the U.S. military likes to have airborne or ground spotters, the laser designators, so they can lead the pilots directly to the target. With laser designation, automatic homing is provided, and pilots can release weapons at a much higher and safer altitude than with self-directed bombing. But once the invading army moves into the city, air power is relatively useless unless you want to risk a lot of civilian casualties. Even so-called targeted drone strikes with Hellfire missiles and bombs cause a lot of civilian deaths, many more than combatants killed. Ultimately, ISIS will adapt to the air power threat. It may inhibit them from getting out in the open again and conquering new territory, but it won't root them out of the cities already conquered. That's why the French are beefing up the Kurdish Peshmerga forces, who will be tasked with attacking ISIS from the north, as the Shiite militias come out of Baghdad to confront them in the center of Iraq. Once again, we must return to the underlying cause of this new war in Iraq, which has been the U.S. arming of radical Islamist forces in Syria in order to topple Assad on behalf of Israel. Israel has been assigned by the globalists to attack Iran, and Netanyahu is demanding that Syria be taken down first in order to lessen the threat of retaliation to Israel after it attacks Iran. Joshua Cook, writing for Ben Swan, covered this topic well. Here are some excerpts with some of my comments where I disagree, Joel says. Quote, the U.S. and its regional allies armed and trained, quote-unquote, moderate Sunni rebels to oust President Bashar al-Assad of Syria in order to weaken the Iranian-Russian influence in the Middle East. Then those quote-unquote moderate Sunni rebels became more radical and joined the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, which has emerged as the largest, wealthiest, and most radical terrorist organization in the region. Joel says, Cook is parroting the government line, even though he probably doesn't believe it completely either. The U.S. never intended only to arm and train moderates, but the most radical ones, which are the only ones predisposed to take up arms anyway. Continuing the quote, the strategy of arming radical Sunni Muslims has been an abysmal failure, yet Hillary Clinton and neoconservatives like Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham continue to push their Brzezinski-inspired foreign policy. In a swipe at the Obama administration, Clinton said, failure to help Syrian rebels led to the rise of ISIS. Joel says, Hillary and Obama are now planning a major reconciliation to defuse their pretended differences. Hillary is merely positioning herself to run for president and distancing herself from Obama's unpopular re-entrance back into Iraq. But Obama isn't doing anything but following orders from his handlers, just like Hillary would be doing. Last Sunday, both McCain and Graham appeared on the Sunday talk shows to warn about the, quote, direct threat, end quote, of ISIS. Graham told Fox News, the Islamic State is an existential threat to our homeland. Graham asked, do we really want to let America be attacked? Joel says, there they go again, beating the old drums of the phony terror threat. Actually, I think Americans are getting immune to this stuff. The PTB will probably build another false flag terror attack to make people believers again. What the mainstream media fails to ask war hawks like Graham is what made ISIS a threat in the first place. What the mainstream media is not telling you is that both Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham played roles in strengthening ISIS and other Islamic insurgents in Syria. ISIS success is due to the support they received from the CIA and key U.S. allies in the Persian Gulf, Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Both countries remain to be a critical financial support for al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. Recently, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki accused Saudi Arabia and Qatar of openly funding the Sunni Muslim insurgents. McCain still praises the Saudis, despite the known fact of its state-sponsored terror network and funding sources. At the Munich Security Conference, Joel inserts the annual gathering of globalists in Europe, continues the quote, McCain said, thank God for the Saudis and Prince Bandar and for our Qatari friends. The Wall Street Journal reported that the Saudi ambassador Adel al-Jubeir recruited both McCain and Graham to, quote, put pressure on the administration to get more involved in Syria, end quote. Joel says, there's a bit of misinformation in that last statement. What most likely happened, given the seamless relationship between the Saudis and the dark side of the U.S. government, is that the Saudis complained about getting the blame for something they are doing at the behest of the CIA. So their handlers tell them, just call McCain and Graham, and they will support you.
Hold that thought. Andrew, thank you very much for being with us.
All right.
See you again next week.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Griffith Auto Electric salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's remember them during these trying times. Their efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Griffith Auto Electric at 108 Sugar Mill Road in Sterling, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. They're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. Call 970-522-0160. That's 970-522-0160.
Did you see the size of that commission?
That certainly was a large commission.
Where's the gold?
It's a very, very big commission.
Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer, you get a lot less gold, and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
When I have to remind our listeners out across Colorado and Wyoming, and indeed across America, because many people listen on the Internet, I certainly that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. Quite frankly, we need your help to maintain our network of stations. We're 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We bring you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. And we have a number of people that appear with us on a regular basis, well-informed people who can really give you insight into what's going on that you're not going to get through the controlled media, because the media in America is rigidly controlled by six major corporations: AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, a German corporation, Viacom that controls CBS, and Disney that controls ABC, Comcast that controls NBC, and they all control dozens of other publishers and newspapers. And then, of course, you've got Rupert Murdoch, who controls the London Times and the Wall Street Journal and Fox News. And you have to understand they all working together. They all tie into this elite group that rules the world. There are only maybe 5,000 of them here in the United States and in other countries. But, of course, they work very well. They know exactly what they're doing. They want to bring on a world government, which people don't want. The American people don't want to give up the sovereignty of our nation. But that doesn't matter. These people hold the reins of power. They control both political parties. They control the banking system, the six major banks. They control 67% of our finances. They control, as a result, most of the major corporations. They control the educational system for the great foundation. They have their people planted in our churches. They've changed the music and the message of the Christian church to totally neutralize it. And the ultimate goal is the one world government ruled by Lucifer. And ladies and gentlemen, these people know exactly what they're doing. Not all of them are Luciferian. Many of them are involved simply because it gives them a chance to get ahead, prominent. But some of them frankly understand the spiritual implications of what's going on, is if you give your life to Lucifer, why, of course, you will do very well. Robin Williams recently committed suicide. Why did he do that? He was demonically possessed. He openly was willing to admit that he had a demon, and that demon, of course, was Lucifer. But you're never going to hear that through the radio.